This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Studios.
That's the biggest part of all of these 3-1s that I was looking at. Teams who've come back from 3-1, only three of them have ever done it by winning twice on the road, which is what the Warriors are looking at if they come back from 3-1. And you're right about Houston, where they went home down 3-1. They put up 40 in the first. They were up by almost 30 at the half, and the Warriors waved the white flag. And something that we had on our show thread earlier, Grandy was, you know, saying that's kind of when things went south, where the Warriors didn't even really go for it in game five, which made you come home for game six, which you went for it and you didn't win that one. Then you had to go back to Houston again. You had to exert a lot just to get through the seven games. And yeah, it's going to be a lot easier for Minnesota having this game five up 3-1 at home.
If the Warriors don't win tonight, it's too difficult in my mind to grab a Sharpie and start pointing to specific things. You certainly can. But the game six, and we said it, we were there.
Yep.
We're like, they got to win tonight or else they're in trouble. I don't know when the trouble comes. I don't know how the trouble comes, but I don't like where that leaves you. And the first thought was, well, you're probably going to lose game seven. Well, they didn't do that. But the thought was, even if they don't lose game seven, if they win game seven, you got 48 hours to get on a plane and go to Minnesota. And that's not going to go well. But then they went to Minnesota.
They won the damn game.
They won the damn game, but they lost Steph Curry.
Right.
And can you draw the injury directly to those extra games? I mean, you can. You also can say and the facts are you'll never know. But the bottom line is it left them in a bad spot? And here they are. And I will forever remember that basketball game. And the fact that the Warriors, they didn't just lose it. They were just outplayed from beginning to end.
Game six, you're talking
game
about.
Game six here against the Rockets. For me, if you want to use the word, like, what's been disappointing, people are pointing to Jimmy Butler. You're not playoff Butler, and Pods can't hit a shot. Moody. What's been disappointing? That game, it messed a lot of things up. It did not set them up for success.
No.
And I'm still surprised at how thoroughly they were outplayed.
Well, just it all happened toward the end too. I'm looking at the game log right now and they're down 4 with 9.5 to go, and they were down almost the whole game by 4-10, and they finally surged and got it to 4, and then Houston just basically patted them on the head, and next thing you know, they're up by 17. Yep. And it was like, oh man, it was over, because that was the moment where they got back in it in the fourth, and you thought, okay, home team, close it out, game six, let's go. And Steph Curry could not score in the fourth quarter.
And Draymond, after the game, pointed to the first play of the fourth quarter. They had cut it to 2, and then they had a defensive breakdown and led Fred VanVleet by himself for a 3, and that was when Fred was hitting everything, and then they fouled him also, and that made a 4-point play, 6-point game. They get a turnover and a score, and it's an 8-point game. And you're right, they did cut it back to 4, but it was like They just never
they were going uphill.
They never emotionally recovered. They were never the aggressor in that game, and I will forever be surprised by that. Let's go to Will in the East Bay. Hey, Will, thank you for calling. What's up?
Well, thank you for having my call. Dig your show. And Willard, I really appreciate you being so transparent and honest. You checked all the boxes. You know, at the risk of being unpopular in the Bay Area with your thoughts, I agree 100%. These guys, like a popular coach says, they were who we thought they were, okay? Let me get to my point, all right? The one consistent on this team since we got Jimmy was the defense. Offense, good. But when you're missing the Pied Piper of basketball and you don't have two or three guys following Curry around, you're not going to have those open lanes. You're not going to have those open shots outside. My point being, you got to throw the dogs on defense at these guys. And when I mean throw the dogs, I'm talking about getting right up on these guys at the risk of fouling, okay? You know, you make a good play, you get an outlet pass, or maybe a defensive foul, whatever. If a guy fouls out, next man up, off the bench, get right up on that guy, you know? And it's the one thing that they've been really good at is defense. Well, why don't we ramp that up a little bit, you know, and throw a monkey wrench into their routine that way? That I would love to see that happen because I think it might pay off. It would give them a chance, you know? That and these guys not throwing up, you know, these bricks that you could build a freaking chimney with, okay? You know, Pods and Buddy, you know, and Draymond when he gets the ball and he decides to throw up a brick when he could just, he had a free lane into the, for a easy bucket, easy layup. I mean, you know, I think there is a chance here, but I want to see him ramp up that defense.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier said than done.
Of course,
when you don't have anybody who can guard Anthony Edwards,
well, but
for example.
You know my take on that. I don't even really think he's guardable. You got to make it hard on him, and they do have people who can make it hard on him. The defensive end is the key. I know this is an uncomfortable thought, but here's the deal. Minnesota's better than you tonight on paper. So what do you need tonight? Everybody spends all their time when you go, oh, what do you need tonight? Well, you need playoff Jimmy, and you need Potts to maybe actually hit a shot. You need JK to do what he's been doing. You need this. Oh, we're all talking about Warriors. I'll tell you what you need tonight. You need Minnesota to not be at their best.
Well, they weren't in game one. They shot 39.5 from the floor, 17% from three.
And you have a hand in that.
You do. Defensively, you were good, but Anthony Edwards could not hit the broad side of a barn, and nobody other than Naz Reid in game one could. You held them to 88, and you were able to win, and you didn't have Steph Curry for the majority of the ballgame.
They don't need to be that bad. They just need to not be at their best. I don't think right now, without Steph Curry, if Minnesota's at their best on their home floor in an elimination game, they're going to win. But I don't know if they're going to be at their best. In fact, more often than not in this series, I don't think they've been at their best.
Well, they need to be. They don't necessarily need to be that bad, but they need to be bad.
Yeah.
You need to make them bad, and the problem is right now, you don't have an answer defensively for Anthony Edwards, and Julius Randle over the last couple of games has also been a real problem.
Draymond in theory should be able, I don't want to say to handle or stop Julius Randle, but he's built perfectly to make that hard. Like he's built perfectly to have Julius at least struggle a little bit here and there. And that's all I'm really saying. If Minnesota opens the door a little bit and you can have some sort of a rock fight win, then there's the possibility that the ingredients for everything change. And that is obviously Steph Curry returning. Yep. And then you have a completely different firepower set on the offensive side. And maybe you start getting some different outcomes. You would only need one.
Right.
And then you force a game seven. And everybody knows once you get to a game seven, who knows what the hell you're going to get.
That's what's so frustrating to me is that game three was that quote-unquote rock fight, 102-97. Yep. Minnesota shot 44% from the floor, 38 from three. You got 30 from Kuminga off the bench, and Pods went 1-for-10. This is not to put it all on Pods, but you just needed one more player to be decent, and you know, Draymond had 2 points in 29 minutes, and Pods had 5 points on 1-of-10. If you just would have had one more guy hit a couple of shots, you would have won the rock fight that you were talking about. Can you go out there and have another one of those kind of games tonight? Absolutely. And
sure.
It's interesting, though, because we asked Steve yesterday about pace, and that's why I was asking him, you know, you want to get out and run. Is that really what you're trying to do? Because the faster you go, the more possessions you're going to have. And I don't know if that suits the Warriors right now. I understand that you want to get Minnesota before they set their defense, but you don't really have a lot of weapons offensively right now. For me, it seems more logical, and I'm no head coach, but limit the possessions both ways and, you know, try to get into it more of a low-scoring game.
I hear you, but I also think that it's tough for them right now to get into the half-court offense because they don't have floor spacers, and so everything gets all clogged up, and they're the shorter team. And, like, in other words, take Buddy Hield. How's Buddy going to get an open three? In transition.
Most likely.
In transition. Other than that, it's going to be really hard for him, and we don't want Buddy dribbling the ball into a three-pointer.
Dribbling the ball. You could have stopped right there.
Right. He's not very good at it. But if you get him a spot-up catch-and-shoot three, he's Hall of Fame level. Like, literally, look at the numbers. He's generational on catch-and-shoot. So you're going to do that in transition. Let's go to Omar in the city. Omar, thanks for calling. What's up?
What's up, Willie and Diz, man? You know what? When you live by the field goal shot, you're going to die by the field goal shot, man. Draymond said it a long time. He said there's two people on the team that could do anything they want. The rest of the 13, you guys are role players, and if you can't play your role, you got to leave, right? So with that said, you know what? The Rockets exposed the Warriors, right? The Timberwolves destroyed the Lakers at 3-1 and closed it out. So I'm a Warrior fan, and Warrior fans, I understand we want them to win, but you got to look at the writing on the wall. No Steph, right? The last time they won, Jimmy Butler said himself, he said, this is hard without the best player on the team. And if you're relying on Draymond Green to shoot jumpers, not going to happen. That means we're not going to get in there, right? So what's confusing is that we got all these opportunities to get in, and you got playoff Jimmy who's not working his best. I think he's sick or something, right? But then he's not taking it to the hole, and so is everybody else not taking a hole. So if the Warriors defensively cannot hold the Timberwolves to 10 or maybe 11, 12, they're going to start shooting that jumper shot, right? And it's not going to go in, and Ant-Man – dude's on fire. He's killing it right now. Gobert inside is killing it right now. Randall, you can't stop him. So I'm expecting them to lose come next season. Please get Giannis. I've been waiting for that since last time he was
going to go free. Omar, thanks. I really don't see the Warriors. If you look at it, even if Giannis were to become available, they don't have the package to get that done, in my opinion, number one. And number two, I'm kind of allergic to that conversation before this game tonight. I just don't want to get too deep into thinking about next year in the offseason. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. Plenty more of you want to weigh in, and that's all we're doing the rest of the way. Warriors Live is about an hour, 20 minutes away. But Jonathan and Derek and Coach Solomon and Mr. D and Coach Hall, stay right where you are. Here we come. 888-957-9570.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
By the time the Warriors tip off, the Eastern Conference Finals might be set.
Boston came in tonight favored without Jason Tatum.
Didn't they really?
By 4.5,
yeah,
I saw.
I mean, well, yeah.
They're still good.
They're at home.
Yep.
Desperate. I get all that. We'll see. The Eastern Conference so far has made no sense.
Right?
Like, the intuitive nature of what's going on in this round is just completely lost.
Well, even last night, where we're watching it here in the studio, yeah, and it's like, okay, all right, Cleveland, yeah, you're going to get this one. You're home. You're up 15. All right. Game six, we'll figure that out from there in Indiana, and then whoop, Pacers just, no, we're better. We're going to go ahead and take this thing over in the third quarter, and I got home, and it's like, what? Cleveland out in five again?
Before the playoffs started, if there was one thing I felt comfortable saying, without a shadow of a doubt, it was that Boston and Cleveland were going to play in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Thought so.
The idea that neither of them will get there, not that that's already done, but the idea that of the likelihood that neither of them will get there is stunning. Absolutely stunning. So anyway, the first of the double dip is underway. It could be an elimination sensation in two cities tonight. We're certainly hoping not both. Warriors Live starts in just over an hour, and it is all on the line for the Warriors. And we're taking your calls. Before we do, want to remind you one more time, or maybe you heard it earlier today on the roast, maybe you didn't, but we're excited to announce that 95.7 The Game and Odyssey have partnered with the Golden State Valkyries on a multi-year deal to broadcast their game starting this Friday. Valkyries take on the Sparks at Chase Center at 7 o'clock. You're going to be able to listen to the games right here on The Game and also on the Odyssey app, where the Valkyries are going to have their own custom channel. So you can download the app, search Valkyries, check in there, subscribe, listen to each and every game. Kevin Dana and Sophia Jones, who are both fantastic, will be on the call all year long. All right, let's get back out to you, Jonathan, who is not on a golf course today, which is new. Hey, Jonathan, I appreciate you shaking up the energy to see if you can get the Warriors going.
You know, it didn't work the other day, so we got to try it. We got a round to celebrate tomorrow, Harding Park in the morning. So we're going to manifest a victory tonight.
That's exciting.
Okay, question. Is the team on the floor a Western Conference Finals team?
No, not in my opinion. How would you answer that?
Well, they're down 3-1, so I mean.
Well, no, like, do you mean that in
like in terms of who they have on the floor without Steph Curry?
The
no, they're not even a
correct
playoff team, to be honest.
Correct. So I think this is where the word fan, which derives from fanatic, is coming out with all these callers. A, they don't watch basketball or know the game. This team, to have expectations, are unrealistic. It was the same thing before the trade. We were asking players to play above their skill level. Wiggins was being asked to be a two. He's not a two. Pods is being asked to be a number three option. He's not that. And we're in the same situation without Steph. So there just has to be a little bit of like, hey, we're doing the best of what we can. We see injuries are part of the game across all these teams that are losing, except for the Lakers, because they lost all on their own. But it's just a part of the game. This team has done an amazing turnaround since Jimmy arrived, and they're set up to hopefully retool around them for next year. But we have to have realistic expectations. They should have won game 3. I think that was their shot to try to extend this thing. It's going to be tough, but we should be happy with this team that we have and what they've done, because I think they've exceeded expectations given how top heavy this roster is.
Jonathan, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, happy with it, but not really ready to be reflective with a game coming up here in a few hours. So
no, same.
If they lose in five, whatever happens in this series, yeah, you look back and you realize a big reason why they lost. And you could also say that Minnesota might have beaten them anyway, but you look at what they have, and he's not wrong, Jonathan, when you look at this roster. Even before Steph got hurt, I think that you were asking players to do more than what they're ready to do anyway. If Brandon Podziemski is in your starting five and he's your starting two guard, I don't think that you are a Western Conference Finals team right now. He's a second-year player who has his limitations.
Well, he is in the starting lineup. He has been in the starting lineup.
Right, but if that is what you have, even if you have Steph Curry, I don't think that you are a team that you would look at it and go, yeah, that team's Western Conference Finals for sure.
You don't think that, like, Steph, Pods, Jimmy, Draymond, and throw in whoever your fifth is. You're saying that that's
I'm saying that you're not better than OKC, and you're probably, I mean, you might not be better than Denver. You might not be better than Minnesota.
I don't know. I like most Warrior fans, and again, they're fans, but like, well, let me ask you this. If Steph had not gotten hurt, do you think they're up in this series?
Probably 2-2, I think, going to a game five.
You think they would win?
I don't know. I mean, I think you'd be looking at seven games.
Yeah. I do think the Warriors at full strength are one of the best teams in the NBA.
I predicted them to win this in six. That was before Steph got hurt.
Well, I think they are a top. I don't know what the exact, like, is it top five? Is it top six? It's one of those, and absolutely one of the teams that would have a chance, not the highest chance and not a great chance, but a chance to move through and win this thing. And by the way, if Steph doesn't get hurt, and if you do feel like they'd at least be even in this series, and you're looking, I would still and always have and favor Oklahoma City to win the championship. But if you felt like they'd at least be even in this series with a shot to move on, and we don't even know for sure if Oklahoma City is going to be the team that comes out of their series, it's a difficult one. But if they were to get into that series, then what's waiting for them now, whoever goes to the NBA Finals from the West, in theory, is probably going to be playing a team that's a little bit less dynamic than you thought.
Or less experienced anyway, yeah.
I don't know, man. I see this team at full strength. Top heavy, yes, but one of the best teams in the NBA. But if you like, they're so top heavy that if you take one of those two off of it, yeah, it's a mediocre team.
I'm more top heavy than Boston, who just lost their best player, and they're now with backs against the wall. And if you look at what they're still rolling out, favored tonight at home against New York, and you look at who Boston still has, and they're better without Tatum than the Warriors are without Steph.
I agree with that.
And if you did the same thing with OKC, if you took out Gilgeous Alexander, I think Oklahoma City, I would say, is better than the Warriors without their star player.
Absolutely.
So top heavy. The Warriors are top heavy more so than these other teams, which also makes me think that they're not as good as these other teams.
I don't know about all of them. I don't think I would not put Denver on that list.
If they lose Jokic?
Yeah. Done.
Yeah, like, if they played the Warriors in a best of seven, no Jokic, no Steph, that's a coin toss.
Maybe, but that's kind of my point. I don't think Denver is clearly better than Golden State if they were to lose their best player. Like the rest of that roster, I know you can name some of the names, but I don't think they're capable of being a one and navigating. Like, put it this way, I take Jimmy Butler over anybody else the Nuggets have.
Over Jamal Murray as the one?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd take Murray.
No, Jamal Murray is he's nowhere near as versatile as Jimmy Butler. I know he's younger. He's a better outside shooter.
Yep.
But to run a team as an ISO player?
He's more capable of getting his own than Jimmy Butler is.
Oh, I don't agree with that. I mean, getting his own. How about,
like, here's the ball, go score.
Right, but that's not great basketball.
Well, it's what you have to do when you don't have your best player. Like, what else are the Warriors going to do tonight than play ISO ball?
They're
not going to run and cut.
ISO ball doesn't mean go get yours. ISO ball means that's how you start, and then you create a good shot somewhere on the floor for someone. It's not just me versus the world.
Right, I understand
NBA
that.
NBA basketball doesn't work that way. So, I don't know, man. Jimmy, you know, by analytics, is the best in the league at it in terms of the ball starting in his hands. Derek in San Mateo. Hey, Derek, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Shout out to Jonathan, last caller, for keeping it real and just saying, like, hey, we got lofty expectations. Let's not forget where we were at the trade deadline. You know what I mean? Like, so if we didn't have Jimmy Butler, you know, we were, you know, barely doing okay, and you're saying we don't have Steph? Yeah, we've got really lofty expectations, so shout out to him for being real. But I was actually calling more to kind of critique Steve Kerr's usage of pods. I mean, I was a pods, you know, apologist for a long time. He did great in the regular season, and I was even rooting for him. I said, before last game, I said, man, his luck's got to change. It's got to change. And then he came up with another stinker. And maybe this is where you guys can tell me, why isn't Steve Kerr just benching? If Steve Kerr can bench Moses Moody, if Steve Kerr can bench Jonathan Kuminga for months on end, how come he can't bench Pods, who's been just on a terrible, terrible streak here and can't seem to make a bucket? And you can say, well, we need a ball handler. I'm like, we're at the end of our rope here. We need to change things up. And if I see Pods out there the entire game, or at least a lot of minutes today, I think for sure we're done. So what do you guys think about? Oh, you know what? Steve Kerr even said on your show, I think he said yesterday, yeah, he says, this is good playoff experience for him. I said, no, we're not here to, you know, give people trophies, you know, participating trophies. I don't care if he's, you know, getting good experience. Hey, we need to win.
Hey, Derek, why, stay on the line, okay? Stay right where you are. Do not hang up, because there's a way better way to do this than have me or Dibs answer your question. Why don't you have Steve Kerr answer your question? You want to do that?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. No. You're not going to actually ask him. You're asking the same question we already asked him. So stay right there. And then I want to know, do you accept this answer?
He reads the game. He handles the ball. He passes. He's a great rebounder. He sees things defensively, so he's always in the right spot. The game just connects when he's out there. It just makes a lot of sense for the rest of the group. And that doesn't mean he's perfect, but he does a lot of things that just make the game make sense. And not every player does that, frankly. So Brandon, despite his shooting struggles, continues to connect lineups and make good basketball plays, and that those are the things that help you win.
Okay. Derek, do you accept that answer or no?
I think that's a diplomatic answer, yeah. And that was the interview I was referring to. Yeah, I do remember hearing that. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's great, but we're losing games. And again, we're at our last – if this is regular season, yeah, you know, give him a little bit more rope. But we are losing, and he's on – you saw those stats. He's on a terrible streak right now.
Yeah, just shooting. I wonder who, like, else you'd like to see,
yeah, exactly,
in his spot, because, you know, you look at the team that doesn't have a lot of depth, especially in the backcourt, and – you know, Pods did have 4 steals, and he was only a -9 compared to Jimmy Butler, who was a -30. So who do you want to see in there instead of Pods?
I don't know, because Jonathan even said, we just don't have the depth. We don't, and that's why we're going to get crushed here, unfortunately. But, I mean, I'd honestly rather see anybody else at this point get the minutes to possibly just change the fortune of our shooting right now. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, Derek, that's thanks. Fair. I mean, I get it. A lot of people.
The points are from Jonathan and Brandon are the same points I've been trying to make, which is Brandon Podziemski, if he's your 7th man on your team, you're championship caliber, because he's the kind of guy you can play 25 to 28 minutes off the bench. You don't need him to shoot 10 times. He'll do all those little things that he does oh so well, taking charges, getting steals, rebounding, making the smart play. But the Warriors are relying on him, even before Steph got hurt, they're relying on him to do too much for where he is in his career.
You think before Steph got hurt?
Yes.
Why?
Because you're starting him, and if he is your starting two guard, I don't think he's good enough to be a starting two guard
on a
championship team.
I do. I mean,
I don't.
All 5 of your starters don't have to be reliable scorers. I mean, there are a lot of players in the NBA on high-level teams.
Right, but he's not a reliable defender. Like, he's a glue guy, and if you're a glue guy, then you're a sixth or seventh man.
I mean, he's a reliable rebounder. He's not a terrible defender.
He's not a good defender.
He's not a great defender.
I wouldn't say, I would say he's closer to bad than good. He's below average.
I think he's about average.
This guy is a ball player.
Yeah, I'd say he's garden variety, which is nothing special, but I don't think he embarrasses himself on defense.
He cannot guard the ball. And I mean, he gets blown
by. Depends
on
who's got it.
He gets blown by everybody.
No.
And he, honestly, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and just rip a guy, but you watch him on defense.
I mean, you are.
I'm keeping it real. I watch the games. And when he's guarding the ball, he gets blown by more often than he contains a guy.
Because you're watching him guard Anthony Edwards right now, which is an absurd setting.
He's a guard. Who else are you going to guard?
Well, I understand.
You've already got Steph Curry out there who can't guard people on the ball either.
Steph Curry is also better than he used to be on defense. And by the way, all of these people that you're torching right now are starters on the team that has analytically been among the best defensive teams in the whole league for the last 3 months.
Right.
So how'd they do that?
They did that because defense is not an individual exercise.
Correct, but you have to play your role. You can't just stand there.
Best defensive player maybe ever.
Right.
As a part of that. And Jimmy Butler is a good defender as well.
But you can't just stand there and get blown by every single play and have somebody else like pick up for you and not have that lead to a bucket for the other team. They must be doing something okay.
Occasionally, yeah. Okay. Occasionally.
Okay.
I mean,
I mean, they're one of the best defensive teams in the league.
Right, we're talking about one individual.
Right, and my point is,
you're saying he's a good defender, or he's better than average. Or you said average.
Average.
And I think he's below average, right.
Okay, that's fine. But my argument is, and this has been my argument all day, I think so many of you are suddenly assessing these players just on the last 3.5 games. That's the memory that's in your bank right now, and you're triggered, and you're mad, and this is who you think they are. 2 weeks ago,
that's not what I said.
You
want to make sure that my words are my words, and I'm not saying that.
Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Say it.
I'm saying that he's been bad the last couple of games shooting the ball. And
last couple games, that's what I just said.
Well, and what I also said is, if he's your starting guard, your team is not good enough to be a championship team. That's what I said.
And he's been your starting guard when they were the 2 seed in the West based on post-Jimmy acquisition. Like, there's zero evidence that this guy's been a problem until the last 3 games, and now everybody wants to pile on this guy. 2 weeks ago, Pods, yes, Pods! And we've done this back and forth all year, and he's still a very young player too. Steve Kerr was calling him out at the beginning of the year. He had a horrible start to the year. Then he got hurt. Then he came back and had a very, very consistent stretch as a very good player. Then solidified a starting job post-Jimmy. And this became one of the best teams in the NBA. And then for a week, with the best player hurt, he's gone through a horrible shooting slump. He has looked exposed because he is trying to do something he's not capable of doing. And now we've decided this is who he is. And I think that sucks. I think it's unfair.
I'm not making my decisions based on 2 games or a week or a week and a half. And you can look at their record since they got Jimmy, and you can cite that as, you know, credit to Brandon. And you just mentioned the start of the year where he was pretty much not good, and they went 12-3. So they go 12-3, and he plays bad, but they went 12-3. So I guess that's the team that they were with Brandon, who was coming off the bench then.
Exactly. That was first of all, his stretch of poor play went way longer than just those 15 games. And there was different roster machinations going on at that time. D'Anthony Melton is still on the team. Some calling out a soft schedule. Like, I don't know, dude. That feels like 1,000 years ago, to be honest with you. Largely, once he got hurt and came back and got through sophomore slumps, I would argue that Brandon Pajemski, for the bulk of this year, was a hell of a lot more positive than negative. But today, Wednesday, March 4th or May 14th, everybody hates him, and it's largely because of the last week. And no, I'm not just saying you, Dibs. I'm talking about the whole sound of everything right now. There is so much Pod's anger. You should see Boxer and Gerson, Work Injury Attorneys text line, YouTube chat, Twitter. There is so much Pod's negativity, and I absolutely challenge every one of you to point to what was happening prior to Steph Curry's injury if you hate Pod's. What's that take? That's the take I'd love to hear. If you want to rip Pod's, Tell me what it was that was happening prior to Steph Curry's injury that you hated so much as this team went 25-7 through the months of March and April with him as a starter and a 30-plus minute player. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
That's why I think this has been wildly unfair since Steph Curry got hurt, my opinion. Coach Solomon in El Cerrito. Hey, Coach, what's going on?
How you doing, guys? I'm here not to basically rip pies, not at all. But as a coach, you know, you have to adjust. Coaching is all about adjusting. I think this is one of Steve Kerr's worst adjustments he's done. This based on the starting lineup. I don't know what was wrong with the chemistry of really trying Kuminga and Butler on the floor at the same time weeks ago. With Pods. I believe tonight the adjustments you're going to have to take, Green, you start Mooney, you start Butler, Kuminga, and Jackson, but you let Green run the point guard and let Butler, he has to attack, and Kuminga has to play more minutes, and I think you might have a puncher's chance. But the chemistry's off. Because Kuminga never really got in rhythm to play with the rest of the team. So we look, that's why we're like, what's going on? It's off because I think he never got in rhythm to play with the starters for whatever reason, which I don't understand. I mean, Kerr's a great coach, but I just think the adjustments are putting Kuminga in now. It might be a little too late. But, yeah, I think we would have had a puncher's chance if he were to start and they get a rhythm. Hopefully, Mooney can play real good. And Green just facilitates. If he facilitates and Butler attacks and Jackson just has a hell of a game, we might have a puncher's chance tonight, guys.
Coach, thanks. I know people get tied to this. I don't. It's fine if you do. I don't care who starts. JK's been getting 30 minutes plus in these games without Steph, so I really don't care if he starts. And I'm so glad you brought up the word rhythm because, to me, this is the issue. Like, I don't even know how it's possible. You're like – When the eye of the storm leaves, and then you like you want these guys to just have a sudden rhythm, like it's not going to happen, and that's why this is so hard. And it's not to say they can't do it. You can win a game. That's all they have to do is win one game. Minnesota could be off. They could have somebody get hot. The Warriors could have somebody get hot. Even but to have any lineup right now with Steph hurt. Just come in and kind of click and have rhythm. I don't think it's possible. They barely played together this way.
Yeah, it's very difficult, and I would predict that Jonathan Kuminga comes off the bench and he plays the same role that he did in game four, which is he'll be the first sub in for Jimmy Butler at about the 6 or 5 minute mark. So Jimmy will play 6 or 7 minutes and he'll go to the bench, and then JK will come in and he'll have a chance then to be the focal point. And as Steve Kerr told us yesterday on the show, J.K. does better when he has the ball in his hands. That's when he's at his most effective. So I would not anticipate that he starts. I wonder who else he goes with. He's going to go with Pods for sure, and Butler and Draymond, and you would anticipate Buddy and probably Trayce Jackson-Davis again.
All right, Lotto, you want to weigh in? Warriors Live is 45 minutes away, so it's nothing but you until then, so stay right where you are at 888-957-9570. Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live work and vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, Willard and Dip.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
But you said tomato, not potato.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Same thing, both delicious if served correctly. Both gross if served incorrectly.
And they actually go well together. When you get your potato and you dip it into the tomato ketchup, potatoes and tomatoes actually are a lot closer related than you would think.
Meaning like French fries? I'm going to eat
it. Yeah, a French fry is a potato and ketchup is tomato.
Yes.
So
I'm not a French fry ketchup dipper.
No.
That's not my thing.
What do you do with French fries?
I just salt them.
You just salt them and eat them?
I salt them and eat them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What about tater tots?
Salt them and eat them. Hmm. Yeah. And if I am going to dip them in something...
What about hash browns?
Yes, salt them and eat them.
It's kind of weird.
Maybe. But that's what I do.
I don't like ketchup.
I'm going to keep it a buck.
Yeah, I like it.
And just tell you how I actually do it, because I don't want to fit into everyone's box that they want me to fit into. And hate Brandon Pajemski with all of my fiber of my being.
It's not about hating Brandon Pajemski.
It's stupid floppy hair and all of those bad decisions.
You're over-dramatizing
it. Of course I am. You can't tell that that's what I'm doing?
I'm just...
Hello?
Yeah, well, I feel like you're throwing me in the bucket of those who are, quote, hating Brandon Pajemski.
No.
All I said today, and I stand behind it, is that if he's your starting two guard, you're not good enough.
And that's fine. Although, he was their starting two guard during a period where they were very much good enough. And that's what I wonder about. A lot of this sounds to me like people are watching the last three games and now dismissing who the Warriors were for March and April and parts of May. You know what I mean? Like, this was, do you not believe that from Jimmy's arrival through the Rocket series that this was one of the best teams in the NBA? Do you not feel that way?
They were one of the best teams in the regular season, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
And Pods was their starting two guard.
Right, for the majority of it. He did miss five games. They went 4-1 in those games, so it's not like they couldn't do it without him.
No, I'm not saying he's a linchpin, but I don't think he's preventative. Your point sounds like he's preventative.
I don't know. He's limiting.
No, but
if you're talking about being a championship team, I don't think that he's good enough as your starter. If he's your seventh man, he's absolutely good enough.
It's not a crazy take. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying, like, he was their starting two guard during a period where they were fantastic. And so I wonder, like, was the belief at that time that they were not a possible contender?
They sure were a contender. They went from being a 10 seed to a 7 seed. And he was here for the whole year. So the games when they didn't have Jimmy Butler and he was their two guard for a lot of it, that counts too.
Like, I wonder, and again, I'm not trying to pin you, but, like, was that your opinion at the start of the playoffs? They're not winning this thing if Brandon Pajemski's their starting two, because he was.
Right. I didn't think that they were going to win it anyway.
Okay.
And I wasn't looking at that solely as, like, if they didn't have Brandon, if they had somebody else, well, darn it, they'd win the whole thing.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out why that's coming up today.
It's coming up today because he's been patently bad for the last two games.
Right.
And many people want him benched. And so he is a topic because he's become a topic.
Right.
He is 4-for-24, I think, over the last... two games?
And that's kind of my argument, which is this guy's been mostly a starting guard for the Warriors all year. Certainly over the last 3 months, it's been a very good year. The playoffs start were very good, And now we're going to judge him on Monday and Wednesday. I just like I get it. He's been awful.
Well,
like
I get it. I would judge him all year based on.
You didn't think that he was.
I didn't think that this team was good enough to win the championship this year.
A contender? No. You thought they were a contender? Like,
sure.
Like, probably not. I agree with you, probably not.
What I said was that I thought that they could go deep in round two. And if you had Steph, you might have been able to beat this Minnesota team because everything broke your way, and that would have been an unmitigated success. You said it about a month ago, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago because the playoffs, you said, the Jimmy Butler acquisition's already been a double. If they can get by Houston, it's a home run.
Totally.
And so I agree with you. It's a home run, and you got two more years of this, but even at that, for me, the high watermark for what I thought this team could do was go deep in the second round. And so they're probably not going to go deep in the second round.
They could win tonight. And then that counts as deep in
the second
round.
I agree with you. But, the odds are stacked against them.
Yep.
And the reason why I kind of limited their ceiling to that is because I didn't think that their starting five was good enough, and I don't think that they were deep enough.
No, they're clearly not deep enough. They're a top-heavy team. And it's not an unfair take. I just wonder why this is the first time I've heard you say it, because he's been there all year long.
It's the first time that I've seen what I've seen over the last couple of games,
right,
which is wow.
But he's being, okay, first of all, yes, horrible slump.
Right.
Second of all, there are certain aspects of his game that even I find the flopping and the complaining to be very annoying.
Yep.
He's drawn fouls in consecutive games that are not fouls, and quite frankly, they're embarrassing. And you know that I hate that kind of basketball.
Yep.
And everybody does it, so nobody's immune, but I hate that kind of basketball, and he's become the Warriors' worst offender of falling over when no one touched him. I can't stand that stuff. Nobody's arguing that Pods hasn't been terrible the last two games. He clearly has. I'm just wondering why we've suddenly decided that now is when we're going to judge and label Brandon Pajemski, who I would argue, if you look at the whole year, pretty good.
Right.
Not great.
But the playoffs are different.
Of course they are, but even more different than the playoffs is playing without Steph Curry. And that's why, in my opinion, every Warrior outside of JK, who has to have the ball in his hands, all look worse. They all look worse. He looks excessively worse because he's hit a shooting slump, which happens to, quite frankly, all of them. So that's all.
And it actually happened before Steph got hurt. He was already showing signs of the playoffs maybe not being his bailiwick. He had the great game against Houston, but other than that,
it wasn't great.
Game two, he only played 14 minutes, and he got pulled because he wasn't good enough.
No, he wasn't great in that
series.
Didn't
make a shot. I mean, he was great in the one game. The game that they needed him to be great, he was great. Outside of that, he's really struggled, and the regular season is different than the postseason.
For sure.
And his postseason has been not galling or alarming. It's been a little disappointing. I thought that he'd play better than this, and he hasn't.
Well, he's being suddenly asked to do something different that he can't do, which is kind of my take on pretty much all of them. Let's go to Coach Hall in San Diego. Hi, Coach. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm not going to say anything about Pies. I got my own strong opinions. But honestly, I think Moody probably got the rawest deal out of all of this. I remember some crazy stat where we had won maybe, I don't know, 10, 11 games with him in the starting lineup. And, he had a bad game. And I don't know what happened. They abandoned him. But my biggest gripe is with the veterans, though. Draymond, you owe us, man. You owe this fan base. You owe yourself. Like, you got to step up, dude. You can't get us one. Jimmy Butler, you calling yourself Robin? We didn't bring you here to be no damn Robin. Dude, be Spider-Man to somebody. You can't get us one. It's on the vets, man. The young players going to be who they going to be, but we need to lean on our vets. And I'm looking at Draymond because I feel like I defend him the most, and I feel like he owes himself and he owes his fan base to step up, stop complaining, hit a damn layup, maybe knock down a three. And then my last point is the start of last game was great. But I don't understand, if we're going to run like that, why not start Kuminga? He's a thoroughbred, and we can get people in foul trouble. I don't know if you guys remember, but I can't remember Slam's name. He had five fouls, and somebody else had five fouls for Minnesota in like the early fourth or late third, and we couldn't foul him out. I think that's what Kuminga does best is draw fouls. If we're going to play fast, put him in the game, let him draw some fouls, And Jimmy, you drive. Buddy, you spot up. Draymond, you play defense. And we go for broke tonight. Just let it fly. That's my take.
Coach, you got some really good points. I do, too. But there's two things I want to push back on. I do believe that Jimmy Butler was brought here to be Robin. I do. I know y'all want him to be Batman suddenly.
Go out there and be Spider-Man or some ass.
But he was brought here to be Robin. Like, in fact, the number one thing that any Warrior fan has said for 2 years running on this radio station is get Steph help. And then they did.
Right.
That's what he was brought here to do.
I always push help back on the Batman-Robin thing, yep, because if you look at Robin in a vacuum, he is utterly useless. He's just he's a young kid with a mask on. Robin never made a play. Robin never did a damn thing.
I don't know what he did.
I mean, Batman, good job. And, you know, Alfred, you want me to pick up the laundry? Robin, the Batman-Robin thing for me falls well short of who Jimmy Butler is.
But no other superhero had a little sidekick that also wore tights. There's nobody else. Superman, who's your sidekick?
That was Lois Lane. She wore tights.
Well, that's different.
It's different.
You better be careful.
What? We're trying to have some fun. It's been contentious in here all day. Trying to lighten the mood. You could have dropped in a Mike Breen, which would have really brought it home. Talking tights. But Granny, you're such a square. Can't have any fun with you around. Thank you. Coming up tomorrow.
That was
Randy and Dibs.
Yep.
Be a laugh riot.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, like,
he wasn't brought in here.
He wasn't.
To
he wasn't.
Be Robin, but he was brought in here in case of glass. In case of emergency, break glass, and now you need to break the glass,
right,
Jimmy.
But yeah, but it's an emergency, and it's pretty freaking hard, and he doesn't have a whole lot of help. Like, we all wanted Steph to get help. Now I want Jimmy to get help. He doesn't have a lot of help.
Well, no way to get him help now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This is what we have.
I mean, other people could play better, but they haven't been able to. Now, the Kuminga point, I truly believe this. All of you who want him to start, that's an ego thing. He is still playing 30-plus minutes without Steph, number one. And number two, this is something I've felt for a long time in the NBA. You all are downgrading the importance of the sixth man. The sixth man in the NBA is not the sixth most important person. He's like the third most important person.
That's a good point.
He comes in to lead the second unit in scoring. He comes in to give you life when you need a jolt. He comes in to replace your other leading or second place scorer to come in and sort of strategically attack at a different point in the ball game. Don't do that to Jonathan. Don't downgrade coming off of the bench. That role to be the first scorer coming off of the bench is an incredibly important role. And I would argue the Warriors don't have anybody else who can do that right now. So I get why they're not starting him. And I do think that's why.
Yeah, and they're going to continue to not start him for that very reason. I'm just looking at the substitution pattern from game one, and the sixth man was technically GP2, who came in for Buddy after almost 5 minutes, but then a minute later, you get Kuminga in for Jimmy Butler, and that's going to be the way it goes. If you start Kuminga and Butler, Kuminga's not going to be able to, and you love this, cook, because you're not just going to run your offense through Kuminga to start the game. He's in a better spot to come in at the six-minute mark. Like you said, now you've got subs coming in on both sides, and he has a chance to attack and be more impactful in that role.
The word cook is triggering me on multiple fronts today.
Oh.
Because the timing of this game suggests that I'm also going to have to go home and do it myself in the middle of the first quarter.
Let Willard cook.
Unfortunately, forced Willard to cook.
I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, but I am. Stir fry tonight, not with seafood. Chicken.
Okay.
Thanks for asking. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM.
I don't care.
In HD1, San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station. It's always live on the free Odyssey app, now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.